This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Intel buys into InfiniBand.
What it means for QLogic, Mellanox, and HPC.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for January 27, 2012. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. Well, you were waiting for a big news story to hit this year, and we didn't quite make it out of January before we got a pretty big one.
Yeah, big acquisition in the works here. Intel made an offer to buy QLogic's InfiniBand business, the second and only provider of InfiniBand outside of Mellanox, and looks like they're gonna buy the whole business.
Yeah, QLogic sounds pretty excited about it. A good offer from Intel. Now, to be clear, they're not buying the whole company. This is more analogous to when NetApp bought the Ingenio line of business from LSI, separating out the storage component. This is Intel buying QLogic's InfiniBand assets, including a lot of people who are associated with InfiniBand and HPC, moving from QLogic over to Intel. So give us some more of the specifics about the news here, Michael.
Right. Well, Intel's been into networking for a while. Remember, they bought Fulcrum last year. They produce Ethernet ASICs, and then they acquired NetEffect a while back, and that's the iWarp Ethernet technology. And now they're sort of hedging their bets here. Now they've got InfiniBand on board too, or they will have InfiniBand on board, assuming the deal goes through.
They're paying how much? $125 million.
$125 million for the business in cash. So not a lot of money actually, if you're Intel these days. But for QLogic, that's a nice net there.
Well, they probably got it out from the couches in the break rooms.
Exactly. So they're going to buy the whole thing. Like you said, they're going to offer everybody who was in the InfiniBand group there at QLogic to join Intel, and I'm guessing most, if not all, of those people will sign up.
Now, you were talking about Intel, you know, being in networking. Intel is actually deep in the history of the early days of InfiniBand. The InfiniBand came out of a merger of two projects from Intel and HP. They had Intel's was NGIO, and HP's was called Server.io. They merged the standards into something called Future.io, or HP's was called Future.io. They merged it into Server.io, and then that changed to InfiniBand. This was all in the 1990s, but it was initially HP and Intel were the two people behind the standard to begin with, and now it's all coming back home.
Right. That was at a time where they were sort of developing this technology to be a replacement for Ethernet, at least in this area of the data center. They were thinking the technology would usurp and maybe replace, you know, things like Ethernet that were going on now. Now, that's changed quite a bit. Intel, I don't think, is thinking anywhere along those lines now. They're looking at this as strictly an HPC technology, and that's why they bought it. They're going to use this to leverage some of their other HPC assets and to push that whole business forward now with an interconnect.
Right, they're talking supercomputing as part of as the main motivator for this. Everything I read, even in the mainstream press, is that this is a supercomputing driven acquisition.
Right, and I'm not sure how much of that is just marketing or how much is true. Now, what they never said was, and I think people maybe are a little confused about this, is that they're going to use InfiniBand as their exascale offering in 6 or 8 years. And, right. You know, I talked to Kirk Skaugen, who's the general manager of the data center group there, and that's not really what it is right now. I mean, they have access to technology that they can now leverage into future exascale systems, and certainly between now and exascale, they can use InfiniBand technology in all sorts of different ways, integrated in different ways on board or on chip, perhaps, to make value add offerings. But it's not necessarily we're gonna put InfiniBand and we're gonna bring it to exascale.
That's actually the interesting thing about this to me is that why I was mentioning the history is a lot of this feels like it really is coming back full circle, because whereas HP's original idea of InfiniBand was to be more of that system interconnect and I/O interconnect, Intel's early ideas, a lot of them, if I'm not mistaken, had it as included as being almost a memory interconnect, very in close to the processor. If you look similar to how AMD has treated hypertransport over the years, I think what we'll see from Intel in the evolution of this toward exascale is a deeper integration of InfiniBand to the chip to get the processor to really leverage the InfiniBand connection there.
Well, that'll be an interesting thing to watch, how much integration they actually do. They certainly sell their Xeon chips into the high-end space, but they don't just sell them there, so it might be hard to do cost-wise, just an integration with the Xeon chips. But something like the Mic chips, which are specifically for HPC, the many-core chips, to put InfiniBand logic there might make a lot more sense, since all of those chips presumably will be sold into the HPC space.
Well, some of this has to be driven by exascale. The number of quotes they're talking about where they're saying in 6 years, that's kind of an odd number to use to talk about things happening in 6 years, unless you mean some milestone that's happening there. And that implies exascale to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they are serious about using the technology to go towards exascale, but I don't think they're necessarily thinking that it's going to be InfiniBand technology as the standard moves along. That might need a much more performant interconnect to achieve the 2018 version of exascale. But there's lots of patents, there's lots of intellectual property that can be leveraged into a custom offering or into a very high-end chip that Intel has in mind now to push that forward. So, yeah, I think they're very serious about using technology for exascale, but I just don't know what form that's really going to take at this point.
Right. If it were just going to be InfiniBand as it exists, there would be no need to buy QLogic. But they're bringing in the engineers. They're bringing in the intellectual property. This gives them the ability to tinker with it and do something different. It might not be called InfiniBand, but they could be leveraging the technology going forward. What I really wonder is if this isn't a move for Intel to be able to, you know, be the front, the prime vendor on an exascale initiative. You go back to the Sandia ASCII Red days where Intel was the prime vendor on that machine. Could we be seeing that again? ASCII Red was the first system to hit a teraflop. Is Intel going to be the prime vendor for the first machine to hit an exaflop? Wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, yeah, I think that's where their aspirations are. Certainly in the past few years, we've seen them become more and more serious about HPC and you know, Kirk Skaugen told me how important that is to them. And he was saying basically by 2018, the top 100 supercomputers in the world will represent the same CPU volume as half of the world's server market as it stands today.
I saw that claim. I read that in Wired. Some other people pointed it out to me. It's a somewhat apocryphal claim that I think is difficult to justify. I think there's some blending there of processors and cores. If Skaugen meant cores, that the number of cores in the top 500, in the top 100 systems, including accelerator cores as cores, that could be half the core volume of the server market today. That I would believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he actually meant processors or cores there, but I think the bigger point is comparing that 2018 projection to their server market today, which is very big. They think just those top 100 systems is going to equal that, and they're very well placed in those top 100 systems as well as the top 500 systems. They're basically the dominant single vendor there. But
well, actually, that's another interesting point. They're not nearly as dominant in the top 100 as they are in the top 500. If you look at the top 100, Intel is less than half the systems. I think they have more than anyone else.
More than anyone else, yeah.
45, 46, but it's not dominant like an 80% number. They've got less than half of the top 100 are Intel.
Yeah. In the top 500, they're certainly dominant. Intel architecture, the Xeons, particular, there I think they're like 70 or 80% of those systems, and they consider that that's a high volume. I mean, what's good for Intel in that area? It's not just high volume; it's high margin too. Those are the Xeons, and in some cases the top of the line Xeons, and they're making good margin on those.
What kind of discounting or NRE goes on behind those top 100 systems either. I think Intel has to give a discount, just like any of the vendors have to give a discount at the highest level. So, that's tough business. We can't presume they make the same margin on a Xeon going into a top 10 system as they do going into a Xeon that's just going into an enterprise server.
Yeah, I would guess, though, they're making better margins on that than on, like, say, their Atoms going into tablets or ultrabooks at this point. But, yeah, your point's taken that there probably are discounts at that volume. But still, it's big revenue for them. I'm sure they're making big profits on that business, and they're going to try and expand that. They've got the many-core mic architecture coming out. That's going to be another high-margin, expensive part, and I think that's going to sort of dovetail into this InfiniBand deal as well, in that it's another HPC-only part of their business.
Well, let's talk about some of the ripple effects that go on here with this. Now, first of all, QLogic, the QLogic still exists. They're still there. They're not really going to be an HPC company anymore.
Right. Basically, they sold off their HPC unit, which was the InfiniBand, and they've got their storage fabric offerings and a few other things going on. But, they got $125 million in cash, which is a nice chunk of change for a company that size, and they can reinvest that in sort of their core competencies that they've had for much longer periods of time.
Yeah, I think this is a good deal for QLogic. I did speak to someone there, and they're not going to be entirely gone from HPC. It's just not going to be a core focus of theirs. They will still overlap into HPC in areas like big data. If you're looking for an investment of that $125 million, I bet big data is probably high up on the list of where QLogic's going to look.
Yeah, no doubt. They'll be in that space. And certainly any vendor in the storage space is going to be looking at big data as a growth area.
All right, so now that's QLogic. Let's talk about what does this mean for Mellanox. I mean, we're now back to an environment where really InfiniBand roads are all leading through Mellanox again, except to the extent that Intel might compete as an adapter or switch provider directly with Mellanox. Do you see that happening? What does it mean for Mellanox here?
Well, certainly in the short term, there's going to be some competition because they're going to keep business as is, according to Scoggin, going forward. So they're going to be selling the adapters and the switches, now branded with Intel, presumably, but the same ones that the QLogic has produced. Now, Mellanox is a partner of Intel now. Their latest FDR InfiniBand, Mellanox's latest FDR InfiniBand, is a good fit with Intel's latest Sandy Bridge chips that are about to go out in volume now because of the PCI 3.0, something that QLogic never got to at this point. So, it's one of those situations where Intel now is going to have some partners that they're going to compete against, but they've done this before. They've done it in the Ethernet space. So I think the interesting part of the Mellanox story is I doubt if they really like this deal. They probably are going to find it harder to compete against Intel than against QLogic. For one thing, Intel has, world-class fab capabilities, so they can build these switch and adapter ASICs at probably a better process technology than Mellanox has access to. And that means performance, ultimately. And also they have more R&D funding behind that company than probably QLogic could muster. So I think Mellanox is looking at this and maybe a little bit concerned what Intel might be able to do with this, just simply because it has more resources and more sort of technological heft than QLogic had access to.
See, I don't know about that. I think it all has to do with how Intel's going to run this business. They're saying it's just going to be keeping the business as usual and moving it forward, but I think that's difficult to do. A lot of clusters are really getting sold by the system vendors, by, IBM and HP and Dell and a deep tier below that. So when I'm buying my cluster from IBM, am I going to be seeing Intel switch options, or am I going to see Mellanox switch options when I'm choosing InfiniBand? And it's not clear to me that IBM is going to prefer to push an Intel-based solution. And bear in mind that Intel can't do any kind of bundle discounting with its processors suggesting a switch. That would be illegal use of market force. So they can't go there and won't go there. So, you know, do they have some kind of competitive advantage selling a switch over Mellanox in that case?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that actually plays out. That's true. But, I mean, one thing Intel does have, and they recently announced this, they have their own server boards. So they can sell server boards to, you know, presumably an OEM that basically puts a box around it. And now those server boards could have QLogic ASICs on it, QLogic interconnect ASICs on it as well. And instead of second sourcing those ASICs, they produce them directly themselves. And that's okay to do. And that might be a very attractive server box for a lot of different vendors. Maybe not IBM, but maybe for a lot of others.
If I'm IBM or HP or Dell, and I'm thinking Intel's getting into the server business with its own interconnects, I'm going to shut them out of the interconnect, and I'm just going to use Mellanox, right? I don't want to start competing with Intel when they're my number one processor provider.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. It depends upon how your server business is done. But, I mean, a lot of these companies, they buy the server board second source anyway. I mean, it's not like, it's not like some of these companies are producing their own server boards. So to get them to buy Intel boards is maybe just as good as buying them from Supermicro or somewhere else.
I think long term, it probably takes a while to get to this, but long term, Intel's buying this for the technology. I don't see Intel as a long term networking provider selling these in competition with Mellanox. I think by the time you get a couple years out, the effect is that it's removed a competitor out of Mellanox's way. Mellanox, we should mention, by the way, released their earnings for their full fiscal year ended December 31st. They're on calendar years, and they had record earnings and revenue. So Mellanox had a pretty good year.
Yeah, they did, and then not too surprising. I mean, they owned InfiniBand business for a while, and certainly the latest financial results bore that out. So it'll be interesting to see what happens the next four quarters, and depending upon, you know, what we've talked about here and what Intel does with the technology, how that'll shape up. But
well, let's end with, what do you think this means for InfiniBand in general? I mean, we were down to two InfiniBand providers. Now Intel's bought one of them. What does this mean for the future of InfiniBand?
Well, I mean, in your scenario, if they're going to just use it as technology to move into other areas and not necessarily be sort of a second vendor for InfiniBand, it's not good. But if they are, and I think in the short term at least, they will be a second source InfiniBand vendor, I think it's a good thing. I think it's probably better to have a company like Intel behind InfiniBand than to have a company like QLogic behind them, just simply because Intel just has more resources to put towards the technology and to move it forward, and probably has more of an interest in high-performance computing and supercomputing than QLogic ever did. So this is a good thing for InfiniBand. It's got a major backer behind it now that it didn't have before, so I think that's just good news.
I'm going to go two ways on this one. We just released our research highlights from 2011 to our clients, one of our top 10 highlights from 2011 was that InfiniBand is struggling to continue to grow as a system interconnect in terms of displacing Ethernet. We've kind of reached an asymptote of adoption. And a lot of the prospects for InfiniBand's future growth, if it was going to continue to grow, were going to come in other areas. So whereas I agree with you that this solidifies InfiniBand's role in HPC to have Intel behind it, I think it also might limit InfiniBand's eventual adoption in other areas. I think it really anchors InfiniBand as a high-performance technical computing system interconnect. But it's not clear to me that this does anything to promote InfiniBand as a storage or I.O. interconnect unless Intel's going to push it there. It doesn't necessarily bring InfiniBand into other non-high-performance technical computing areas, even in high-performance business computing, let alone non-HPC enterprise accounts. So I worry that the overall prospects for InfiniBand growth as a standard are limited.
Well, we'll see what happens in the next year. I mean, this was going to be sort of a transition year for InfiniBand. Now it looks to be a lot more interesting. So we're going to see which sort of scenarios play out in the next year, in the next 2 years, and see what Intel actually does with the technology. But it's going to be a lot more interesting than it otherwise would have been, I think, just because of this acquisition. So,
careful what you wish for, Michael. You wanted news, we got news.
Yeah, good news for the journalistic biz. So, glad to see it.
All right. Good talking to you as always, Michael.
All right. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.